Welcome to the Mystery College Podcast. I'm Jake Zen, and today we're with Mark Rasmus, the founder of Elastic Force and a proficient meditator hermeticist for 30 plus years. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you, Jake. Glad to be here.
Awesome. So I'm really curious. Like we've done a lot of workshops together where, you know, I was an attendee and we worked together for a long time on projects. But for those who may not know, I'm curious if you could share a little bit about Elastic Force, what it is, how is it, how did you found it?
Okay, so Elastic Force is it arose out of necessity. When I was younger teaching Kung Fu, I was always looking for the next stage of evolution. And as I got into hermetics, they naturally fused into the Kung Fu and the Qigong I was learning at the time. And the development of the fascia, the elasticity of the body, seemed to be the key element to internal martial arts. So I focused on all the methods around that development process, fused in the hermetics, and the system just developed over the years. As all the pieces of the puzzle came together, it always felt like I was looking at a pre-existing puzzle, and then, oh, there's that piece, there's that piece. So I wasn't really evolving it as such, as adapting it to the situations where I needed it. And it just became clearer and clearer over time. The basics really of the Elastic Force is getting people to feel energy first and then use that as a model for motion. So in most Tai Chi circles, you have the idea that the mind generates relaxation and relaxation precedes movement. So you have mind, relax, body. And that works relatively well, except the concept of relaxation tends to be limpness rather than tautness. And when you're doing energy work like vital breathing, there's a certain tautness in the body to activate the fascia and stretch elastically to radiate energy. But it requires relaxation of muscle tension into fascia tension. So it's very different to the conventional idea of most internal arts, where they just say, oh, relax, just relax, just relax, it'll come. Mm-hmm. This is more relax the joints open, stretch, release the muscles and activate the elasticity of the body. It goes in a very different direction to most internal martial arts.
Yeah, and that makes sense. It wasn't like there was one shining bright eureka moment that this all happened. It seemed like it was a jigsaw puzzle. You saw the complete picture, and then the jigsaw pieces to fit it into different situations came in time when working with different students, doing different workshops, and then it all kind of came together.
Yeah, and the puzzle became clearer and clearer. So I'd see the pieces, but each year, as I was training those pieces, the clarity increased on, oh, okay, now I get it. And then the year after, oh, now I get it. And you're sort of raising the ability to perceive that picture. So it's a very fun process. And depending on what you overlay it on, it changes. So let's say I'm teaching a martial artist. It's purely about fascia, connected mass, the elasticity of the body, and moving mass at high speed through the fascia to generate force. If I'm teaching a Buddhist, it's all about the vibrational scale of the layers of consciousness moving up, and more perception than power. And the same puzzle, the same jigsaw, you just go from this quantitative to qualitative perception, and it changes the whole experience, even though you're doing the same exercises. So it's very easy to overlay it on different applications and create something new out of it.
Yeah, and I think one thing during the workshops, one of the things that you really emphasized too was for folks who came into Elastic Force from different backgrounds, different sports, exercises, intrinsic energy traditions, that they apply the Elastic Force principles to their interest or whatever skills they wish to develop, whether that's golf or tennis or their office job. There's always opportunities to apply the principles of Elastic Force in whatever they do.
Yeah, I think that's the key to learning. In most Qigong systems, there's a separation between the Qigong and life. So let's say you might do a standing practice where you, in normal Qigong, where you stand and you do this round holding the ball concept, and then you finish the exercise and that's finished. And then you go and do whatever else you do. Well, with the elastic force system, it's more principle based. So you're applying the principles into all the things you're doing in your life. So if you're a painter, you want to access your unconscious creativity. So you slow the mind down, slow the consciousness into a connection to the unconscious, and you draw that artistic self out using the Qigong principles. So it applies to whatever you want in life. And that means you can train it all day. If you're going for a walk down the street, you connect to the air element, you stretch the fascia up, so you make your body light, and then you move through an air element mechanical framework as you go for a walk. And there's a way to apply the principles to every aspect of life, which gives you a way of improving everything you're doing, and a self-awareness of, I'm at this level of skill and I can move up to that level of skill through applying these principles. It makes a lot of fun. It really is a magical path.
Mm. Yeah, and it's magical in the sense that you can apply your intent and your will and facilitate certain outcomes through causation chains. So I'm curious about what are some samples of causation chains that people can do, either maybe in relation to the 10-step initiation process or the elastic force process, the three transformations. What are some ways, like the direct tools that are taught in elastic force, can be applied in someone's day-to-day life?
Okay, so you know, when you start getting into the elastic force system, there's the basics of building the ball, feeling life force in the hands, and then tuning the body to that life force, so your whole body becomes a tuning fork, and then strengthening up the fascia and getting more connection in the fascia through the different exercises like the throwing and the power stretching and rebounding and so forth. You get to a junction point where, I want to take it in the healing direction. So you develop more qualitative awareness, with the life force being a vehicle for the insight mind to activate for psychic ability. Where, let's say, you're going the martial route, I want to keep developing more power through the exercises. If you're, let's say, you're a therapist, you want to have a very high sensitivity to the person's mental and astral nature, so that you can put your finger on the problem and help the recipient to do a release on it and release that energy that's blocking them from moving forward and so forth. So there's this stages where you get to this junction point, and then it becomes more, I want to go this direction in healing or power or artistry or inventiveness or whatever it might be. And you adjust the exercises. And when you journal this out of, okay, this is the goal, how do I get to the goal? You have layers of exercises, and the way you train it changes. So someone comes into the Qigong, they'll still train life force awareness. They'll still train fascia activation, releasing muscle tension and all the layers. And if they wanted to go into healing, they're doing all that with an awareness that they want to develop themselves as a healer. So all the exercises from day one take a slightly different personality. If a person wanted more power, they'd be more in an electric state. They'd be more taut in their fascia. They'd be more radiant. And the way they go from the beginning is a little bit different because the objective is different. So the subconscious magnet, then the intuitive guidance system that's pulling you towards achieving your goal, just changes things. That same exercises that you're doing, but it gives it a different personality. And when people start off with this, they usually don't know what they want. They go, oh yeah, I'm just doing Qigong. And then they'll go, oh, I really like this healing stuff, or I like the martial path, or I want to be a better artist, I want to be a better creator, and so forth. And they'll slowly get into the awareness of, this is what it's all about. So let's say a person starts with martial, they'll inevitably go, there's this personal development, black and white mirror, There's the initiation, there's the ascension of the spirit, and people will go on all these sidetracks, but always end up moving towards the top of the pyramid, and which is spiritual ascension. So it allows people to go very directly or very roundabout in the way they move forward.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense that the elastic force system helps people come to the pinnacle of intrinsic energy achievement. With in regards to whatever they're practicing, it is everything that people do in their life is a form of Qigong. It is a form of working with and interacting with energy manifestation, whether that's on the physical or the astral or the mental. And elastic force provides people the tools, the skills, and the insights to really navigate and work with the world, not only when they're practicing, but also when they're doing their day-to-day activities or they're with friends or family. So going back to what you said about adjusting the training methods to improve results, I'm really curious about some ways where if people have, they practice some Qigong, maybe they weren't sure about it, what they wanted before, but they're practicing, and then they derive some insight into what they want to achieve, who they want to become, and what they want to practice. So if they have that goal, if they have the clarity of intent to pursue a certain path, like, oh, I want to be a Qigong master, or I want to master the elastic force system, how can people then, knowing that, you know, having a goal in mind, how can they adjust the training methods and monitor the results so that they can get the intended desired outcome using the elastic force system?
Yeah, so let's say the person wanted to be a psychic counselor, like a tarot reader or a therapist. And they got into the Qigong and they develop a passion for healing. There'd be an emphasis on journaling your experiences in a qualitative way. So let's say you touch someone, you touch their base and you open up their balance and you feel the center balance open, the astral feeling of the personality expresses itself to you, and the physical body is affected. You could focus, this is the balance of the person, and write that down in the journal of, I can affect a person's balance, this is how I do it. Or you could go, I'm experiencing all these emotions coming out of the person, and you could write them down, and you may see colors, you may feel, that person feels really hot, there's a lot of anger issues pent up within the person. Whatever perceptions you pay attention to and then write them down in the journal, that door opens more and you'll have more of those perceptions. So from the therapist's point of view, they want to unpack the person astrally and work on a strategy to release all these astral resistors with the person so they can move forward. So when you write down all these qualities that you're experiencing as they come up in training, that one, it's like putting a magnifying glass on that skill, and you get better and better at that skill. But if, let's say, a person is taking more the power route, where they want to develop power in Tai Chi or internal martial arts of some type, then their focus on what they write in the journal, when I release this muscle and stretch in this way and connect to the person's balance, pull it into a loop, I get this result. So they write down a different thing in their journal, and they signal the unconscious to get more information about that thing. So it has a profoundly different effect because the dialogue with the unconscious of what they want to unleash and unlock changes. So the same exercise with different journaling unpacks a different path in the unconscious and puts you on a different route. From there, you're going to be looking at how you do the exercise to unpack that more efficiently. So let's say in the elastic force system, when you're training the fascia, you have a definite pressure between two people and you relax the muscles and you stretch through your partner's pressure. And it generates the fascia and activates facial pathways and power lines and it strengthens them. Now, if you slow time down a little bit as you do this and relax into the astral, the same exercise will connect in to the emotional bodies of that person. Even though on the outside the exercise looks the same, it generates a totally different qualitative and physical experience. So the mind just pays attention to a different layer. And of course, whatever your goal is, you get a sensitivity to what layers to pay attention to put the magnifying glass there and open it up and unpack it a bit more.
Yeah. And so in the journaling practice, what can people do to better refine their journaling practice so that they can then be able to effectively plan and monitor the results and create the causation change that they want? How can people refine their journaling practice?
Okay, so the first cue is not to write down problems, but to write down solutions. And write down the solution with a way of it's already happened. So if let's say a person's mind is wavering a lot, they're not going to write down in their journal, "Oh, my mind's wavering a lot today." They're going to write down, "My mind is highly concentrated on these topics," and you leave out the things that make you waver. And so let's say when you're passionate about a particular topic, your mind's highly concentrated. And when you're dispassionate about something, your mind moves off. So you'll write in your journal about the qualities that amplify your concentration and almost ignore writing down what disturbed you. And that'll amplify your ability to hold on to those positives and build it up. Now, when I'm doing black and white mirror work where I'm looking at my negatives and contemplating a strategy on how to work with those negatives, I write it into like a notepad and a scribbler. And then when I contemplate what I've written down during the day and I transfer it into my journal, when it goes into that journal, I only write down the positive points of change. So one is fate, and the other is, oh, I've got to deal with these things. And my scribbler pad, I throw that away. I don't keep that those pieces of paper. So anything that's in the journal is an outcome that I want, that I'm manifesting, materializing. So it's a tuning forks that are taking me to my goal, not things that are resisting the goal. And you'll end up with several different types of journals for different applications. So let's say you're doing the tree qigong exercise. You have a book of trees. And this journal, you take a leaf from each tree you practice with. You write down the place and the date, and you might write down the moon cycle and the time and the positive aspects of the experience. And you put the leaf in your journal. And each day you take a different leaf. And after 100 or so days, you've worked with 100 trees. You've got a journal that's quite fat full of leaves. And then you just put your hands around it and vital breathe. And your body remembers these positive experiences and connects to all this network of trees. Now, if you do this when you're standing in front of the next tree that you're about to work with, and you take all the previous ones and you put a prayer into them, it generates a nature network connection where the next exercise is going to be more profound, it's going to be deeper. And how you word your experiences in that journal is your relationship to those trees. And it's like, if I'm talking to you and we're having a conversation, I obviously want to be positive and constructive and beneficial so that we both grow in our conversation. And this is a conversation between you and the trees that you're journaling. So you write everything in this way that builds a relationship to that network within nature. And every time you practice with those trees, you get an elevation out of it. They recognize your dialogue that you're having with them, and the group consciousness elevates you. So that journaling style for that experience, you get a sense of, how do I write this and communicate with these trees to generate these positive outcomes? Because you're registering your intentions in the journal and then putting the leaf from that tree next to those intentions. And your intentions in that tree are energetically linked. And so you can generate very profound intuitive awakenings through that process. So that type of journaling, every type of journal that you do you have to adapt it to what it's for, and you develop a style of reinforcing a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's the baseline of most types of journaling.
The baseline of most types of journaling is to create a self-fulfilling prophecy to help you with your intended goal or outcome that you wish. And that's why one thing you mentioned in the Backdoor and Hermetics book is for the first, one of the first things you write in your journal is the intended outcome and the people you wish to serve with that intended outcome.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you're, depending on your path and the style of journal you're working with, you'll have your precepts. Let's say if you're going to a Buddhist ceremony, you know, they'll go through the triple gem. I take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, the circle, the teachings. So they'll establish the framework of the frequency of light they want to work with. Then they'll pay homage to different deities. Then they'll say the ten perfections. They'll chant their vows, their precepts. And if they take a Bodhisattva vow, they'll chant the vow. So they set up all the pre-filters for their experience before they meditate. And by doing this, it generates an astral connection for that light to come and radiate through. So the power of precepts are how you live your life, and they're embedded astrally, and then that light hits them and radiates through your life. So when you're journaling, depending on what style of journaling you're doing, whether it's a contemplative journal or whether it's a practice layout journal, whether it's a refinement of technique journal, whether it's a dialogue between conscious and unconscious and so forth, you're going to have this this variation of the style to get the outcome that you want with your journaling.
Yeah, that's excellent. I really appreciate your perspective and your experience with journaling and being able to translate that in such an effective way. So I'm curious to know what you're currently up to in the world. Where are you? Where are you traveling? What adventure?
This next couple of months, Philippines. I'm in Cebu. My friend Joey's arriving tonight, and my brother's arriving in a few weeks. And just hanging out with friends here. We were planning on motorcycle touring, but that'll start in Japan in April. And we're in Japan for almost 3 months. So that'll be a fun adventure. Japan, you can rent a 50cc scooter, which is very small, with a car license.
Ooh.
And you have a 30 km/h speed limit. So it's not exactly motorcycling. It's more like bicycling. But it'll be fun. We're going to do the ADA Temple Pilgrimage if everyone aligns well. And I'll rent a motorcycle for that. Some people are going to rent a car, just go and groove in a car. We'll see how many people show up. And we're also looking at some real estate. I want to get an old house in around Osaka and renovate it. And just a training space for the senior students to meet up and get together every year and hang out and practice. So that's the next half a year of plans. After that, I'm leaving it open. I don't like to plan too far into the future because, you know, things, opportunities pop up, and I don't want to deny myself of those opportunities as they come by planning too much.
Yeah, that makes sense. And are there any other upcoming workshops that you're excited about?
Yeah, October, we're doing a one-month instructor's course in Chiang Mai. Starts the 1st of October. And it's for the Elastic Force. So we're going to do 150 hours of intensive training on producing a Qigong instructor. So with that, this is the first one that I've done like this, where I'll have a few assistant instructors keeping everybody on track and checking and evaluating they're doing each of the exercises correctly. So people learn the exercise, they'll recall the exercise, go through some critiques, they'll recall it again. So after 2-3 times of presenting the exercise they just learned, they'll get to a point of, okay, now I understand that, now I just need to train it. When I teach teachers training, it's very different to a normal Qigong course, because in a normal Qigong course, I give instruction, okay, power stretch and put your joints out, or I'll tell someone how to do it versus how to teach it. Now, when you're teaching something, you have the instructions how to do it, and then also, okay, now relax your awareness into the room, take the feeling of the exercise, relax and release the people into the room, into that particular feeling quality. As so you're verbalizing one thing and you're doing another to transmit to their energy system, to their unconscious, what the exercise is. So it's a much deeper layer of understanding of every exercise. And when people go through the teacher training, their mind's perception of exercise, of every exercise they do, changes, because they essentially learn to step outside themselves when they train. So if, let's say, you're doing building the ball as the first exercise and you want someone else to feel it, you vital breathe the feeling of building the ball into the space around them or into the room, and you permeate and release their unconscious into that feeling, so that when you give them instructions, the person goes, oh, I can feel that. And it feels like deja vu, like they already knew it. And it's because the energy is moving from their unconscious into a conscious experience. And it's a vastly different form of training to normal classes, where you're learning something and doing something as a student. Now you're learning something and doing something as a teacher. So all the wording of every exercise is in the context of how to teach it. And it just makes people's inside mind activate, and they go, ah, that's how it works. One of the benefits is most of the exercises, you occupy much larger mental space when you do the exercise. And as soon as you learnt it, you have to transmit it to a partner. So let's say if my awareness is in my intellect and I'm thinking about what I'm saying, I'm accessing the intellectual memory. But if my mental body's out in this larger space while I'm expressing something, I'm accessing the intuitive intellect, and the spirit senses and the spiritual guidance system gives different information in that flow of expression. So doing this for a whole month, people tune to that mediumistic skill of teaching through their spirit senses. And because most what we're doing isn't techniques, it's principles, the principle moves through that intuitive guidance system and activates their psychic ability. So the goal here is to get people to open that mediumistic skill and be able to transfer skills to other people more efficiently in 1 month. Admittedly, it's an experiment, because I've never pushed a group this hard in 1 month to achieve this much, but it'll be a lot of fun doing it. I think it's very achievable. Most Qigong schools take 3 to 10 years to produce a teacher. I want to produce a teacher in 1 month. Each person, after they finish the course, they'll know within themselves, I'm ready to teach or I'm not, how much work do they need to do on themselves. And it'll depend a lot on their lifestyle as well. If they've got a very clean lifestyle, it'll be much easier. If they, drink a lot of alcohol, just kind of forget it. This is not going to happen. If they've got bipolar or any mental problems, unlikely they'll succeed. So they have to have their precepts in place, their lifestyle in place, and then the preconditions for success are there, then those people will have a much higher probability of success in a very short amount of time with this. That's going to be a lot of fun teaching them.
Yeah. And so we're coming close to the end of the hour. So I'm wondering if you have any last pieces of advice for people who are pursuing the Elastic Force system, either from home, or they're at a current Tai Chi Qigong school and they're looking for the next steps in and progressing their energy sensitivity, their abilities to work from a higher sense metaphysically within the Elastic Force system.
Okay, so the first thing is have high quality training partners. If you have a training partner understands what you understand, you can work together to achieve goals. If the person you're working with is competing with you rather than working with you vibrationally, your intuition can constantly be obstructed through that competitive mind. So the way people work together and support and discuss what they're doing, it's very, very important that both people partners understand the training. The next is the people around you. If you have people who are cynical, skeptical, they don't believe in what you're doing, they don't unconsciously support you, those resistors can really get in the way. So they can be really problematic for people moving forward. Where let's say you're with a partner who goes, "Ah, oh, wow, that's amazing. I really honor and respect what you're doing." Everything just opens up and you can move forward. So being with people that appreciate, respect your path, it just gets rid of so much resistance. And then when the road in front is you clear, you can move. But if the people around you block you, well, that's another issue you've got to work with. And then the last is your relationship to silence grants power. Now, this type of thing, you normally reserve it for a magic circle. It's a time for training. It's a time for entering the stillness. It's time for entering the sacred. And you decide what that means to you, and you honor it appropriately. It's not something you're going to talk about casually in a coffee shop. It's not something that you're going to throw ideas around too loosely. You want to create a sacred space. What that means to you is going to set up the stillness of the platform that your intuitive guidance system is functioning from. So people who are very silent about their path in relation to their personal experiences will tend to move forward much faster because there's more equanimity for personal growth versus people who are embellishing and talking too much about their personal experiences, which generates astral static, breaks equanimity, and they can't really move forward until they can let that go. So most practices are quite silent. If you're discussing this type of knowledge with other people, it's very wise to only talk about principles, not experiences. Because principles, you can keep them disconnected from emotional investment, and they're just ideas to work with and ways of moving forward. Where with most people, they get emotionally invested in something, in an experience, in an ability, in an identity, and that's their biggest resistor to growth. So when you learn how to manage your relationship to speech and practice in that way, you can stop obstacles from forming before they happen, and then you can keep moving forward at a better rate.
Thank you so much for being on the show. Is there anywhere where people can contact you for workshop bookings or follow you on like YouTube or elsewhere?
The website is markrasmus.org. And for YouTube, just Google Sifu Mark Rasmus and the YouTube channel will pop up there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show. We'll speak soon.
Thank you, Jack. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.